Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. This weekend, several years of preparatory work will culminate in the long-awaited groundbreaking of The Gathering Place, a high-concept urban park that will feature playgrounds and sports courts, a lodge, a great lawn, a pond, a boathouse, and land bridges over Riverside Drive, which will connect the new park to the existing river parks. The two-and-a-half-year construction project will be completed in 2017 and will involve closures at various times to river parks and Riverside Drive. So the organizers have pulled out every stop in trying to give attendees of the ceremony a real sense of what the park will look like when it's completed. The Gathering Place, designed by noted architect Michael Van Valkenburg, will begin construction with a ceremonial groundbreaking this Saturday. And like the design of the park, which took ideas from citizens around the city, organizers hope many people will come out to actually see the lay of the land on Saturday. My guest today is Jeff Stava with the George Kaiser Family Foundation and Executive Director of the Gathering Place, LLC. He'll give us a preview of the weekend's events. The Gathering Place groundbreaking celebration will be tomorrow, that's Saturday, from 10 to 2, with the ceremony getting underway at noon. Now, parking will be a problem. There's no parking on site, but there'll be plenty of free parking in the lots around TCC and the churches of Cathedral Square, and plenty of shuttle buses to take attendees down to the park location. Jeff Stava, a very busy weekend ahead of you. Welcome back to Studio Tulsa.
Thank you for having me.
The Gathering Place, this has been a long planning process, and now you're going to finally break ground there on Riverside tomorrow. To start with, let's just talk about what's going to be a part of this, because you really want it to be like the whole planning process, which involved the community. You want the groundbreaking to be a community event as well, a gathering place, if you will.
We do, and it will. It'll be a gathering for Tulsans to kind of celebrate really what we've accomplished through the design process. The public's been really engaged, the last 2 years, and we had over 1,400 different ideas that the community gave us, and we've used as many of those as we can in the design. Michael Van Valkenburg, one of his greatest strengths is listening to the public and implementing a lot of what the public wants. In order to have a successful park, you have to have and you have to listen to what the public wants. And so there's a lot of those thoughts and ideas that are woven in to the design of the park. And we're just really excited to kind of celebrate that on Saturday. And then, really it marks a turning point in the project from the planning and designing and dreaming and creating to really the implementation and construction. And so that's kind of the mark. And so it's a celebration, and we're calling it the Gathering Place Groundbreaking Celebration. We want everyone to come out. We have a ton of activities for families and kids. Over 20 different nonprofits are going to have little booths with games and activities for the kids. We've got really large stanchions built, about five of them through the site, that are in the exact locations that those items will be. So like the lodge, there's a huge stanchion with pictures of the lodge at where the lodge is going to be. Mm-hmm. And the playground, the adventure playground, where the playground's going to be, and the boathouse and the great lawn. And so all of the features you'll be able to see, like, this is right where it's going to be. And I think it really gives people a perspective that they wouldn't otherwise get.
Well, I think it's also one of the first chances the public actually have to be on the property, because it's been private property for so long. And now you can get a sense of how far it actually goes back towards Cincinnati. It's a big property.
That's a really good point, because this has been private property. I mean, since I've been in Tulsa, no one really has been on the property. So this will be the very first time that people actually get the chance to be there and see it and really begin to appreciate what a real gift this is. You have a really large parcel within the urban fabric of our community, and it's a chance to convert it to green space and a public space, right there along the river. It could have easily been developed into a housing addition, apartments, condos. And so it's really special that the foundation, I think, and George in particular, has the passion for, making it a gift for all of Tulsa. And I think that's another reason to celebrate.
So the event goes on from 10 to 2 tomorrow. The groundbreaking will be at noon, a little short ceremony. You mentioned there'll be activities for the kids. Give us a sense of why people should come down and visit the site today.
Yeah, so we have tons of nonprofits and for-profits. We'll have a lot of construction equipment, excavators and dump trucks and bulldozers and things for the kids to climb on. And my kids are 5 and 6, and they love that stuff. And so there'll be some of that activities. The fire department's bringing a fire engine. There's several nonprofits. The Tulsa Children's Museum will be there. They're actually going to be building a tape tunnel like they have at the museum. Mm-hmm. Tulsa Opera. There's just a large group of nonprofits that are going to be there to to kind of engage the kids with activities. And it's kind of a taste for what the programming will be like in the park. You know, we're going to do some really out-of-the-box things that Tulsans have never seen and as far as programming, annual programming elements for the park. And so this is just a beginning of kind of what you might see in the future.
Now, there won't be any parking there. There will be parking at the Finnish Park, but there, but there won't be. And I know that's been a bone of contention. Is, yes. Will there be enough parking
so,
for the park?
Yeah. So for the groundbreaking, we worked an arrangement with the area churches downtown and the Tulsa Community College.
So that big parking crater.
That big parking crater will be leveraged for the groundbreaking ceremony. So, yeah, we've got like 1,100 parking spaces between First United Methodist Church, Boston Ave United Methodist Church, TCC, First Christian, and First Christ Scientists. And all of those parking spaces will be available. And then we have continuous shuttles. We've got around 20 shuttle buses, Tulsa Public Schools activity buses and school buses that'll shuttle people from 10th and Main and 10th and Boston all the way down to the site. So, and it'll be continuous. So, the shuttles start running in the morning about 9 o'clock, and they'll run until 3 or 3:30 until most of the people are off the site. And so, it'll be a great way for you to get on and off. That's the best way to get on and off the site.
Now, just a moment ago, you mentioned the programming, this out-of-the-box programming. Has there been a lot of work in thinking about how you are going to utilize the park once it's finished in 2017?
Yeah, we have a consultant on the team who works for Battery City Park System in New York, and she's been doing programming there for 8+ years. And so she's starting to understand kind of what the park layout's like and what the activities are based on. And she's been working for, I don't know, 5 or 6 months now. And she gave us about a month ago a really good broad brush overview of what we could look at for programming. And so we're just now starting to kind of get into that. And we're also fine-tuning our design right now. And so she's able to come in and make suggestions on different spaces and places within the park to kind of make sure it supports that type of programming. So it's pretty exciting.
Now, anytime you have a great lawn, you think of a big concert space at times. And I know in the early part of the design, it was people behind the gathering place were saying, no, it's really not going to be that type of space. Has there been some rethinking about that?
So the gathering place in general is a place for all people, for all Tulsans. And it needs a place for people to aggregate, you know, to be together. And that's what that great lawn. And Quick Trip has signed on as a big supporter for that. And it's called the Quick Trip Great Lawn. And we'll have programming. It'll be a series. It won't be probably as intensely programmed with music and concerts as Guthrie Green. You know, Guthrie Green is within the Brady Arts and Entertainment District. It has the Canes Ballroom and Old Lady on Brady right around the corner. You know, it really is our concert or entertainment venue. But a great park also has, you know, classic movies on the lawn, you know, symphony in the park, possibly some concerts occasionally. I mean, you know, it's more, it doesn't have the strict cadence that you would have with Guthrie Green, but it will have events that will bring the community together.
Is this going to supplant what is now the defunct West Festival Park as far as the amphitheater and a concert venue? Or is that still in the planning stages? Because at one point, the floating amphitheater was going to be replaced by another amphitheater on land in the West Festival Park. I know those projects are on hold, but is that in the future plans too?
Well, one of the things we've been very careful about in our planning is to not replace or absorb anything that's within the community. And that includes programming. It includes events, you know, community-wide events, and it includes features too. You know, we, in the planning process, looked at all the other parks and all the other entertainment venues and made sure that what we were going to do was not going to steal away or duplicate something already in Tulsa. You know, Tulsa's a fairly small town, so it just doesn't make sense to replicate or duplicate something already being done. So as far as replacing West Festival Park, certainly not. You know, West Festival Park is an important part of river parks. We have some of our best celebrations there, Oktoberfest, the Scottish Fest this weekend is there. So, you know, we just want to augment and improve and provide a greater offering and a different offering. So I think from a programming element and also from a feature standpoint, we're just trying to improve and create our own opportunities.
Well, take us back through the planning process, because this was much like our citywide master plan. This was really open to everybody to provide suggestions. And you got a great number of suggestions. Some, I'd say, as to use your words, a little outside of the box. But were there any direct citizen input that shows up in the final plans?
Quite a bit, actually. We had a lot of clamoring for a place that you could sit and relax outdoors and have, you know, something to eat or drink. You know, when you travel to parks on the coasts, the convergence of things to do and things to eat and the park space are all kind of unified. Well, we don't really have that here in Tulsa. And so we spent a lot of time looking at the food venues and the types of foods and drinks. You know, we have an ice cream shop. That was actually one of the ideas in the plan. We have a coffee shop. I can't remember if that was specifically an idea. But and then we had some really neat ideas, like a real serene kind of secluded area that could be used for yoga classes. That was, I thought, a really cool idea. We also had a lot of people who wanted improved access to the Arkansas River, you know, the ability for the trails to kind of get down closer. Because, you know, right now, as great as the trail system is, there's always a grove of trees or things that have grown up and you can't really see the river.
And there's a bluff, too. I mean, it keeps the river from being in our front yard.
Really large, steep bluff. That's right. And so, you know, these bump outs, you know, kind of allow people to descend down closer to the water's edge. And so that's an idea. We had a lot of ideas. We didn't have any solid ideas, but we had a lot of requests for making sure we had activities for kids that were kind of between 11 and 12 and maybe 16 to 18. You know, generally
that's
playgrounds.
That's two very different ages right
that
there.
Is. And as you transition into your teenage years and your kind of young adult years, it's a struggle for there to be activities. And so, you know, we have a skate park that's progressive, meaning it has beginning and then intermediate and advanced. We have a BMX pump track that was added to the project that we didn't have in the initial design. We have sport courts. We added a sport court. We now have five sport courts. So you can play street soccer, street hockey, basketball, tennis, volleyball. You know, they're multi-purpose courts. So a lot of targeted activities for kids in that age range. Also, just in the adventure playground itself, and I present this to people all the time and to groups, and we have a real finite now detail of what that playground's going to look like. And after I get done with the presentation, the adults and the young adults are always like, well, gosh, I could play on that. I kind of want to go crawl around on those sandstone rocks, or I want to crawl up into that netted structure. So we're trying to create things for all wide varieties of ages, ethnicities, just every different kind of physical attribute, just trying to make it a place for everyone.
Now, one of the great things about going to the groundbreaking is you'll actually be able to walk the property and get a sense of the size of it. Because, you know, as you're driving by on Riverside, you know, I've seen the plans many times. And I'm still saying, how are they going to get a lake, a lodge, this huge playground, this great lawn into this space?
You really have no idea. And it's really kind of the landscape architects have told us that, you know, because the house was there for so long, your eye does not see the whole piece of property. Because when you put a structure on it, your eye deflects to it. And then everything you see is within that field of vision, you know, to that object.
You don't see the huge grove of trees on the south.
That grove of trees
is huge.
Huge. I mean, and you know, we're going to put—
I hope you're going to keep some of them.
Oh, we have inventoried. That's a good question, because we've inventoried every tree. We have looked at its health. We've looked at, is it diseased? How is its branch structure? How is it in relation to the other trees? And will it continue to grow? We've looked at its root health. And then we've designed the playground all around the most healthy and most dynamic and great trees. In fact, we have a model of every single tree and every what type of tree it is, what its health is there at the foundation. And you just can't buy trees to replace the kind of trees that you have there. But having said all of that, there are a lot of trees that were damaged severely in the 2007 ice storm. We have a lot of trees that are diseased. We have lots of trees that have rotted out with root rot and core rot. Bill Pruce with Pruce Landscaping is an arborist, and he's the one that inventoried these trees. He's GPS located them. We have them all up in CAD drawings. You know, with his advice, we've kind of gone in and prioritized what trees are the best and which ones are going to continue to grow, and which ones are going to have to be taken. And, you know, we've moved, you know, I'll give you an interesting, we have a tree, what we call champion trees. We've got about, I don't know, three dozen of them, meaning these trees they're beautiful, they're huge, healthy. And we actually moved the parking lot circle drive so that tree could stay in the middle. And we shifted the boathouse a little bit. And I mean, so that's how serious we are at keeping and preserving the most important trees on the site.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing how this is all going to fit together, because the idea of having a great lawn and a lake, a small lake and a boathouse and all this, these activities, I have to admit, it's hard to get my eye around exactly how it's all going to fit together. And I guess this weekend will give people a sneak preview.
You'll start to get a glimpse. We have at the site, which we're debuting there at the groundbreaking, is something called a park pod. And it's a giant dome, 25 foot in diameter. And you actually go in. It looks like an igloo. And you go into it, and you sit along the back edge of it, or they have these really neat camping chairs. You sit down into the dome. And it's almost like basically a TV screen that wraps around you. And so you get a 270-degree look. And we've 3D animated our illustrations. And it transitions. They took a quadcopter with six cameras and ran it over the site. So as the camera dips down, it transitions from what it is today to what it's going to become when the park is complete. And it's about a five-minute program. And honestly, when people it's probably one of the most unbelievable promotions I've ever seen. I mean, and this group has done stuff for the Olympics and for Major League Soccer and the World Cup and all sorts of big companies. And we did it because we wanted people, it's a 3-year construction period. It's a long period of time. We want people to really see and understand what this park means for our community, because let's just face it, over the next 3 years during construction, there's going to be a lot of dust. There's going to be a lot of dirt. There's going to be a lot of road closures and changes to kind of the lifestyle along the river that we've enjoyed. A lot of short-term sacrifices, but for an unbelievable long-term gain for our community. And so this park pod will give people that 3D image. And
you might want to bring that out about a year and a half from now.
Actually, we're gonna actually put it on tour. So, we're going to allow groups here in town to ask us to come out for an event. We might have it at the fair, Mayfest. We could have it at Guthrie Green. We're even thinking about taking it to a lot of the elementary schools so the kids can start to see what it's going to be like. So we'll put it on tour, even taking it maybe to Oklahoma City and maybe around the state, so that, we can generate excitement and understanding about what a gathering place is going to be for Tulsa.
The Gathering Place finally breaks ground this weekend, this Saturday, with a public event from 10 to 2. You can park all around Boston Avenue and First Methodist Church and First Christian Church, take a shuttle down to the site for all sorts of activities for the whole family, adults as well as kids, as this starts about a 2.5-year construction project to be completed in 2017. My guest today is Jeff Stava, the executive director of the Gathering Place LLC, who's worked very closely with the architects and the George Kaiser Family Foundation to put this together. And this has got to be an exciting day. I mean, this has been something you've been looking for what, 2 or 3 years, 4 or 5?
We've been thinking about the groundbreaking for over a year now. And and the whole thing is designed around families and kids, which is really what this park is going to be, is for families and kids. And so that's what the ceremony is going to be like. And Governor Mary Fallon will be there. Commissioner Ron Peters and Mayor Dewey Bartlett will be there to help us. But probably one of the most special things, we have bought 2,500 18-inch yellow shovels, and we put the Gathering Place logo on the tongue of the shovel. And we have a huge sandbox in front of all the donor shovels. And, because it's a kids and family event, all the kids will be invited to grab a shovel and participate in the groundbreaking ceremony. So, it really epitomizes the donors are doing this for today. They're providing this opportunity. We're raising over nearly $150 million so far, and that's important. But what the donors are doing this for and what the Kaiser Foundation is doing this for is for generations to come. This park isn't a park for 10 or 20 years. This park is for hundreds of years, and it's going to define Tulsa, this riverfront park. And so having the kids involved is symbolic and really important to us.
And you mentioned this is going to be a 2.5-year construction project, and it's going to truly affect people, how they use river parks in that particular area. It's also going to affect people who use Riverside as the way to get to downtown. Will there be times where there's no access to river parks, the current river parks now?
Right. So starting in October next month, the Midland Valley Trail in early October, which is the trail that is just remodeled, that runs behind the property and kind of feeds over from 21st over to the pedestrian bridge, that trail will shut down in early October. And that's probably the most immediate closure that you'll see. There's a lot of utility work that's going to be starting next week. There's we're going to be putting a fence on the east side of Riverside Drive to kind of get the site contained so that we can begin the excavation and some of the tree work. So that's kind of the first stage of work, but getting the fence built. And then we're going to be taking the berm down that's between the pedestrian bridge that crosses Riverside Drive and the, and the Midland Valley Trail itself so that we can get access into the site. We won't be doing a lot of access off Riverside Drive. It'll be predominantly on the site. So that's kind of the first step. And then when the road starts, I know many of your listeners have heard that we got a Tiger grant from the U.S. Department of Transportation last week. And so that's changed our timeline a little bit. And we're still trying to figure out what impacts that's going to have. But next year, sometime probably in March or April, Riverside Drive will close. And so, you know, we're working really closely with ODOT, the Oklahoma Department of Transportation, to feed people on 75. We're doing signage all around to kind of keep people diverted off of Riverside Drive. So there will be some inconvenience, but we've got to get the roadway done. We've got to get the land bridges built. And so we're working through the timelines and we're working through the sequencing because there's a lot of city projects that are being done to the area and there's a lot of gathering place projects. And so they're independent, and so we have to coordinate. And so the timelines are shifting around and we don't have them all settled, but for roughly 10 months, Riverside could be closed and possibly longer depending on how it works. And then there'll probably be some restricted one-lane access each direction for a period after that. So during the road construction part, because the trail is so close to the road, there'll be trail closures. And the north-south trail from roughly 27th up to 33rd place will be closed. And really it's to protect the public, it's to protect the construction workers, and that way we don't have to worry about people getting in and onto the site. So it will be a little inconvenience, a little short-term sacrifice, but I can tell you for long-term gain.
You were talking about the Midland Trail closing almost immediately here. Is there any plans to, at some point, once you get the work done around the trail, to open at least a portion where people can sort of do an overlook to the site? I remember when they were building Crystal Bridges, people came from all around to just watch the construction project taking place, and it sort of got people excited about the finished project.
I think that when we can, we'll have some sort of viewing area. It's really hard because the scope of the site is so large, and you know, for insurance reasons, we have to kind of keep it secure. But yeah, we've talked about some viewing decks and things that we could install. None of that's been planned or budgeted yet, but that's something we've thought about.
My guest today is Jeff Stava, the executive director of the Gathering Place LLC and one of the main project coordinators for the Gathering Place, which will break ground tomorrow from 10 to 2 and starting a 2.5-year construction project of this immense park on River Parks, which will be completed in 2017. Earlier you mentioned you've kind of changed some things about coffee shops and ice cream shops is going in there. Now, is that going to affect the lodge? And what exactly is the function of the lodge?
The lodge is the very first building that you see when you enter into the site. It's really the entrance to the park, if you will. It has a circle driveway in front of it with a porte-cochere. So, you know, you can drop your kids off there. It could be a place you drop the whole family off and go park. But it provides as the main entrance. It also serves as, it's got a really large community room. Where it can be rented, and, you know, between 300 and 450 people, depending on the function and the type of layout, can use that community room. It really is open to the public anytime. So it's kind of, if it's too hot or too cold, you can come in. If it's rainy, you can come in. It's kind of a living room for the park, if you will. And they've got huge floor-to-ceiling plate glass windows that really bring the trees and the park into the room. It's got a huge fireplace, you know, for the wintertime when it's cold and snowy.
This is the thing about it. It's really a 365-day-a-year sort of gathering place within the park.
It is. And then there's a restaurant. It's a lot like a Shake Shack. You walk up and order and get your food and then go sit down with movable furniture. There's a large deck area that accommodates about 300 people. So it's really kind of the entryway and kind of the resting area within the park. It's made out of stacked stone. It's real reminiscent of the national park houses that were built, you know, kind of in the 30s and 40s. A really neat building and all state of the art too, LED lighting, geothermal. And then it's got a huge number of restrooms in the lower level. So it kind of offers the kind of anchor point for, you know, for restrooms and water fountains. It's a multi-purpose building with a lot of different things that you can do and use it for. But that's what we've really done in the last 2 years as we've worked through the planning is fine-tuning and improving the structure of the programming and the uses of the buildings and the uses of each of the areas because we wanted to make sure that when it's built, it's usable and people easily understand how it's to be used.
Now, you mentioned something like Shake Shack, which is, of course, that's, you know, that's an icon in New York City. Mm-hmm. Were those the sort of the things you're saying, we want to have an atmosphere, we won't be exactly like it, but we want people to use it the way they do, that institution, or like a at City Park in New Orleans, there's a wonderful little coffee shop there, and you're just sitting under these huge live oaks. That sort of atmosphere, is that what you're shooting for?
You know, it's interesting you bring all of that up, because Josh Miller and I at the foundation, and many of the foundation, we travel a lot.
How many parks have you been to?
I've probably been to, I'd say, 2 or 3 dozen parks. And children's museums. We've traveled to a lot of children's museums. And I never really tire of it. And you know what's interesting is a lot of the experiences, too, that we're putting in the park aren't necessarily dependent upon a place we've seen in a park. It could be just a place that we liked that's a retail place or a restaurant place or a bar. It could be a play area that, you know, was at a school. I mean, so there's a lot of elements that have become from all different places, not just parks and not just children's museums. So that's all important in the design and kind of how it's put together.
Now, you mentioned children's museum because at some point a further phase is involving hopefully the Tulsa Children's Museum, if that can happen. Now, this first phase, does this go just up to 31st Street, or is it going into the apartment complex, or are those still staying for the time being?
So it goes from 27th Street, which is the north end of where the Blair property is, to 31st Street on both sides of the river. And then from 31st to approximately 34th, just on the west side of the river. So all of River Park's, that land that's on the river, gets done in the first phase. So we don't ever have to really touch that again. And then the second phase is where the Sundance Apartments currently sit, which is on the southeast corner of 31st and Riverside and goes to Crow Creek. That's the second phase. And then the third phase is the Legacy Apartments, which sit on the south side of Crow Creek and go across Cincinnati. And so that's the third phase. And so the second phase is kind of what we have in mind, is kind of the having the Children's Museum there, anchoring that kind of bookend, if you will, the southern end of the site. And then we're still working on plans and ideas and thoughts for our third phase. We're not real sure and how they'll interconnect with the second
phase. And
this is
still a number of years away, because you're going to be involved with this through 2017.
That's right. Yes, that's right.
Yeah. Well, we hope a lot of people come out. I hear it may be a little on the rainy side, but it should be still a beautiful day at the Gathering Place, a chance to actually walk the property, get a sense of the size, get a sense of the dimensions. You have these wonderful models that says, well, where you're standing now, there'll be a pond and there'll be paddle boats and canoes on this new lake. You'll be standing right in the middle of the Great Lawn. You'll be standing where the lodge is and get a sense of...
And you get to see those pictures right there on those stanchions. So you'll actually... I think it'll click for a lot of people that where the spots are and how it's going to look and feel when we get it done. And as to the weather, just want you to know, Travis Myers assures me that the rain will hold off until after 2 or 3 o'clock. But he's texting us a couple times a day with weather updates. And thanks to Travis, the rain is slowing down from that hurricane over in Baja. And so, but he thinks it'll hold off for our ceremony. So we're kind of excited and holding our breath.
All right. The Gathering Place breaks ground tomorrow. Jeff Stava, thanks very much for joining us.
Appreciate it being asked. Thanks.
Jeff Stava of the George Kaiser Family Foundation and the executive director of The Gathering Place, LLC. The Gathering Place breaks ground officially tomorrow at noon with ceremonies and celebration from 10 to 2 at the park site. Parking is best at either the TCC Metro campus or the churches surrounding Cathedral Square. Abundant free parking there and nonstop shuttles, which will take attendees to the park location. Construction is expected to take 2.5 years and complete in 2017. More information at agatheringplaceforTulsa.com. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.